Well, greetings to everybody in the name of Jesus. We're finishing up here. We're coming into a new week of lockdown or whatever they call it. And it's really exciting, isn't it? Everybody's just having a great time. I know in our area, I guess what they're planning on another week of it after this coming week and into the next week. Well, there's one thing that we can do is I know some people can go to work or some can't, but however it may go, we're just going to keep ministering the Word as number one, as the Word will sustain us during this time. It'll give us encouragement. And so I want to just, you know, say today we're going to be starting off with a new teaching series. There's some things that just God brought to me about is to go over to teach. We're going to talk about courage and commitment. And today we'll be dealing with the courage, and maybe even next week we'll just go as the Spirit leads us on this. But and then commitment, they really tie together. And I want to, get you to understand this, is when we deal with these subjects, there's many subjects in the Bible, they just tie together. For teaching-wise, we may divide certain things up and teach them, and sometimes people look at them and just, it's a single subject, but so much of it goes in here together, and I want to do that. I want to, as we teach these things, I believe the Spirit of God is going to dovetail some of different things in together concerning this courage and commitment as we go through it in our teaching. So we just want to rely on the Holy Spirit as He will speak to us. Is one of the things I want us to understand, and we've talked about it before, and I've made mention of the Scriptures, but I'm going to read them to you today. That what Paul wrote to Timothy concerning the last days. We're surely living in the last days. We're living in these times, and we can see these things. And in 2 Timothy, the third chapter, I'm going to read to you from verse 1. It says, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of God, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away." And so, I mean, that there, you know, people look and say, "Oh my God, everything's falling apart." No, we need to understand that it isn't, the church shouldn't be falling apart. This is not the category of the church, and the church is going to turn out like this. Paul was telling Timothy in the last days what things were going to get like, what the church would face. And so this is why we're talking and dealing with these subjects. And we're going to talk about courage and commitment because this is the time period we're living in. This is what the unsaved man looks like out here. And as more pressure goes on, we see more manifestations of these kind of things in people. And it's like if you sit down and one thing is, I don't spend much time looking at the what the news says about going on in people and stuff, because it will build discouragement in you. It'll we can't do that. We don't want to get ourselves depressed and everything else out here over the things that are going on and how people are acting. We must maintain ourselves. There's one thing that we need to know. We're under days of pressure. And it's one thing is being under pressure, we find out really what we have in us and what we are. And, God didn't bring this stuff on the world today. This hasn't been brought on by God. The world's reaping today. Even the church is reaping what they have sown. They've sown to the flesh, and we reap corruption. And we need to know that this is the time period that we could use to our advantage if we pay attention. Because these are the times that we can find out about ourselves. You know, you've heard me use the terminology before concerning a tube of toothpaste. When it's squeezed, you know, toothpaste comes out of it. Or whatever's in that tube, you're going to find out what is really in there. If it's marked toothpaste and you squeeze it and something else comes out, well, see, it doesn't matter what's on the label. See, many people have the label on them of being something, but when you squeeze them, that ain't what comes out. And so we need to find out, maybe there's things we need to change. I found out myself over these times here with this squeeze on, there's things about me that I found I don't like, and I'm gonna, you know, whatever the squeeze is on, we have to make the changes to deal with these things so God can move through us. And so we're going to look at this in the areas, because see, during this time period we are living in, there's very much fear. And one thing is understanding this, is fear and courage don't run together. They're not good friends. So you're going to find this in dealing with ourselves, in dealing, because there is fear out here. It just seems like on everything they come along with, something else. They got another thing, and people are afraid. What's going to happen with this and that? And there's just so many things come up with this virus thing and stuff, and people are making decisions based on fear. And I've told you before, there's never good decisions made on fear. And so we're seeing these things. But this thing they call a pandemic, you know, it's going around. And there's one thing is we don't see is from the world and the natural perspective, we don't see a lot of encouraging messages going on out here. It's to build you up. Mostly, that doesn't mean everybody. Sometimes there's people work their best to try to give people hope, but the news media loves the negative side. They love it. It doesn't matter which one you listen to. They all love the negative side. And when somebody does something stupid or dumb or says something dumb, they just can't wait to report it. You know, I just don't understand why the media, and when I say the media, I'm not talking about just in Fox News is left out. Any dumb, you know, person that says some dumb thing, they'll have it published. You know, and you're sitting there, if you want to read that stuff, well, you know, you need to understand those things said, words spoken to us, can either encourage us or discourage us. And so the message of fear being preached, really, and this said, we have the concerning, like now, right now at this time, is one of the things is, I use this pandemic thing as talking about it. You know, you don't like to really necessarily talk about this all the time, but this is a good subject matter to use because of what's facing right now and dealing with problems. Because right now, this is one of the things that's right on the list of things that right up front that everybody knows about. But we can use this as a good example of dealing and walking in the Word of God, building ourselves and walking in courage in these times instead of discouragement. You know, a simple basic definition of courage is just this. It's mental or moral strength. It's for to venture, to persevere, and withstand danger, fear, or difficulty. See, it's moral strength. It's mental strength to venture or to persevere and withstand danger, fear, and difficulty. So the difficulty and fears are going. How do I stand in against these? Do I have courage or am I discouraged? You know, it is easy. I had to watch with myself, you know, and they add another week on to, you know, staying in our homes, you know, and that stuff. And naturally like to get discouraged about what the governor's doing. But, you know, I can't do that. You know, I need to keep up my courage. You know, God, this proves out, you know, man's making decisions and doing things, and we're going to have to find out, can we trust God in these times, or what on earth are we going to trust? What are we going to do? Are we going to have courage, or are we going to be discouraged? So we want to go in to look at these. So we want to look at what discouragement, or what determines whether you and I have courage or not. What makes the difference? And we want to talk about listening, especially in the voices that we listen to. The Bible said that there's many voices. There is none without significance. In other words, there are voices that we're hearing. Those voices bring words. They're either to encourage us, they're either to build us up or strengthen us, or words spoken can tear us down. You know, James wrote about the tongue. Says being evil, it can start fires. My words, boy, the tongues is like today. There's a whole lot of fires being started. And even before this pandemic, I mean, from our government, people all over our nation, so divided, so much being said. And you know what? There's a lot of stuff that's being said should not be repeated, and we shouldn't be repeating it either, you know, concerning people. You know, they say dumb, crazy things, and we shouldn't be going out around repeating them. You know, I've had to repent of making statements about people and stuff. I don't know if you had or not, but you just got to watch what you go around and say, because people have said crazy, dumb things. But we go around saying these things, and what it happens, it builds in us animosity toward people. And you can't do that to yourself. You got to watch what you're pumping out and saying. Be careful about these things. But there are these voices out there. And one of the things we're going to talk about first is really is dealing with our own voice. We want to make sure that our own voice is not working against us. Have you ever done that? Have you ever had your own voice work against you? I have. I've used my voice against myself and, discouraged myself by what I was saying. I've been there already. So we need to be careful in there. One thing is to have courage. We're going to have to do something. And what do we do to build ourselves up? One of the things, I want to go to Colossians, the third chapter. When we look at Colossians, the third chapter, as we go in here in teaching today. Hallelujah. And we want to look here at what says in Colossians. There's really some interesting things it says here in Scripture. Randall Greer in his teaching, he's been teaching, he's done this before numbers of times. He uses the illustration that Kenneth Hagin had about going up one side of the mountain. He said, we go up one side of the mountain and we go up, we have one view. You go up the mountain on the other side, you have another view. You get to the top of the mountain and you get the whole view. See, sometimes where we're at is we have a truth, and it's the truth of what we see from the side of the mountain we're climbing up. And it's true, but it's not the whole truth. You understand that? You see, on the other side, that view over there concerning the Word of God, it's true. So both sides are true. But both sides don't have a full view. So you get to the top of the mountain, you see the full view, and you put those two truths together, and it gives you the truth. And so what we want to do is do the, we're looking at this because there's a scriptures that we use, and especially from the Spirit-filled standpoint, and it is correct in its use. But there's some things I want to bring out from this scripture that we can look and use this same scripture in some ways that'll help us being Spirit-filled, but also it'll show us something else from this scripture used in the context where I'm talking about courage. Now, this scripture starts off in Colossians, the third chapter, verse 16, and it says this, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Now, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. That word, richly there, it can also mean abundantly. So, in other words, get a lot of the word, let it live in you. In other words, it's in your heart, or get the word in your heart. It says, let it dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Let it get in you abundantly. And see, there's a purpose right now. As I was talking before, the squeeze is on today about things. There's a squeeze on. Well, this squeeze that's on in life, what's coming out of us is from this squeeze that's going out. What dwells in us richly starts to come out. Well, see, if we get we have the word in us and things, well, right now we should be at peace and rest and joy. We shouldn't be all bent out of shape. We shouldn't have a worry and fear. God's not going to take care of us. God's not going to look after us and complaining about God. I see Christians are talking about, well, God brought all this on us and God's doing this because he's mad at us. I'll tell you, God's mad about things that are going on, but he loves people. And you know what? He's doing what he can to help. He's waiting for people to turn to him. If we turn to him, if we seek him, it says we'll find him. If we knock, it says he'll open to us. Well, now, if that is true, then this is a time to be knocking and things to God to get answers, not sitting around complaining about, well, God did this and he wants it all to turn out bad. No, he don't. The devil wants it to turn out bad. God wants to bless and help. He wants to save people. But man has made a determination to follow a different path. Most people in the earth, and even many Christians, are not letting the word of Christ dwell in them richly. Today, they're talking about everything and complaining about all kinds of stuff. Even a lot of people, you need to be careful about. I understand there's people concerned about their civil liberties and all this kind of stuff, and they're yelling and screaming about this stuff and everything. But that's not on top of the agenda. My number one I should be doing in this day and this hour is examining myself. Number one, have I been a cause of anything? Am I the cause? Am I a problem in this situation? Have anything I've done that helped spur this thing go on and deal with it? Don't point the finger at the other guy first. There may be things that people are doing wrong, but I want to tell you, we need to deal with these things properly. If we deal with it, it's just other people. What's the government's problem? It's this problem. And, the Democrats are trying to take over and this group and that group, and people are saying these kinds of things. Well, I'm going to tell you what, the Republicans have been asleep as much as the Democrats have. So we need to stop this stuff and get ourselves focused over on the truth. Not the truth that we found climbing up the mountain. Many times people aren't climbing up the word mountain. They're climbing up the mountain of what's going on around us and getting the view of that. We need to be careful about that in these times. Now, so God's word should be a number one priority over all other words spoken. Those words that are spoken, that should have the number one priority. The word of Christ dwelling in us richly. He says, in all wisdom, he says, teaching and admonishing one another. Now, I want you to understand, that word means admonish. Admonish word, that word means, from the Greek, it means to put in mind. In other words, to remind people of something. It said also to caution or reprove gently, to admonish, to warn. See, this is a time the Word of God will do this. It gets in you. It admonishes you, not to hurt you, but it does to reprove you. It'll even warn you. Wow, to keep you out of trouble. It's not going to hurt you. And God wants it in us, and it's for this purpose. He said, "It do that." What in all wisdom? He said, teaching and admonishing. In other words, the Word of God in us, the wisdom of the Word in us. Wisdom is the ability to take the Word and apply it. See, we don't want to just go around quoting Scriptures. We want to know how to live Scriptures, how to walk in it, how to apply it to our life. And he says, teaching and admonishing one another. In psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our heart to the Lord. Let me ask you, in this time period we're going on, the things that are happening, are you singing? What are you doing? Are you singing with grace in your heart to the Lord? Hallelujah. See, in the middle of trouble, in the middle of trials, and the things that are going on, this is the time we should be rejoicing, not at the trouble that's going on and the difficulty people are facing and about the people dying, but we need to rejoice in the Lord. The Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. See, we need to get over there. I tell you, praising God, singing. You're not going to stay happy or encouraged whining. That's not going to work. In talking about all the problems that are going on, but we need to as the church. That is ministry to one another. See, we can really help each other if we stay on top of this thing. Hallelujah. Praise God. Without worrying and complaining about stuff, but rather, I'm going to tell you what, you need to have a song. You get the Word of God in you, you'll have a song to sing. Glory to God. You'll get out of discouragement. You can't get the Word of God in you and be in fear. You know, Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:7, and you know this scripture. You're familiar. He said, but for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind. See, we got a spirit. We've been born. We have the same nature of God. We've been born of the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God lives in us. And you know what? There ain't no fear in that. You know, we'd have to take fear and bring it into you. See, the devil wants to make you afraid. He wants to say, oh, you're going under. You're finished. You're done. This is all going to fall apart. See, you listen to people out here saying, well, this is the new norm. Well, you go ahead and live in their new norm. I ain't living in their new norm. Hallelujah. I'm going to walk in the blessing God has for us. I'm going to walk in God's norm. And His norm has been the same from the beginning of creation. It ain't changed. Hallelujah. His Word is steadfast and it is true. And it'll perform everything that He said it'll do. Hallelujah. Thank God we don't have a new norm. Ho ho. Praise the Lord. I'm excited about that. I hope you are. Glory to God. And so get excited about the Word. The Word is true. It changes not. The Bible says God changes not. Hallelujah. So He stays the same. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. There is no new norms. There's no new norm of poverty. No new norm of having less. No new norm of being sick. That's not a new norm. We don't have that one. Hallelujah. So if we're afraid, we need to understand this. If we're afraid concerning this virus and this thing goes on, I just want to let you know this. You don't have a sound mind. Your mind's messed up. You don't have a sound mind. Well, I believe you have a sound mind. You know better. But I'm telling you, folks, you're dealing with all kind of people out here that are out of their mind. They don't have sound minds. They're worried and fearful and afraid. You know, even many Christians, it's a shame. See, they haven't been building themselves on the Word of God. Oh, they may be born again and going to go to heaven, but they haven't been founded on the Word. They believe, you know, that all the good stuff in the Word was for the Jews, and they don't believe it's for us today. And so, you know, they say those things. You know, they don't have sound minds. Their mind's flaky. And so, you know, that's something Norval Hayes used to tell people, you know, that they were flaky. And I'll tell you what, we got a lot of flaky people today. Their mind's not good. They're afraid of things, of what all's coming on the earth. Like Jesus said, men's hearts will fail them. See, as a Christian, you can't have your heart fail you as a Christian. If your heart fails you, you're in big trouble. That's a place for faith. You operate in faith. So We surely don't want our heart to fail us. Hallelujah. This is why we want to keep ourselves over. Keep the word in us. Glory to God when something comes against you. I would recommend you during this time period and stuff, write things down that you'd make maybe a confessions concerning yourself, about yourself in a positive way concerning the word of God from scriptures about yourself and say them over you. You know, hallelujah. Like the, you know, this scripture we just read. I don't have no spirit of fear. I have a power, love, and a sound mind. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, in Colossians, the fourth chapter, there's a scripture there we want to look at. We need to look at it, that will help us. So, I want to say this to you. The only way that you're going to keep a sound mind during these times is stay on the Word of God. Get it in you richly. Keep it in. You know, most of you guys, you all have the Word of God in you. Well, continue to repeat those words. Continue to get the Word in you. Continue to speak the Word. Continue to read and meditate on the Word. Hallelujah. Ah, Lord of God, go ahead and sing. Glory to God. You know, you don't have to wait to go to church to have a worship service. You can sing. When you might think, well, I don't have a very good voice. God ain't interested in who can carry the best tune. Hallelujah. He's just interested in people rejoicing. Hallelujah. And rejoice in the Lord always. In Colossians, the fourth chapter, verse 6 says, let your speech always be with grace. It don't say, let your speech sometime have some grace in it. It says, let your speech always be with grace. Why? Your speech, like I said, you hear you the most. There's one thing when you're talking, you hear you. You know, somebody else can talk to you, you don't pay any attention to them. How many times have you been around somebody you're talking to and they don't pay attention? How many times have you said to your kids something and said, well, you don't listen at all? Well, or maybe your mate you've said that to at times, you know. Wanda said that to me a few times. Well, I should say more than a few times. I didn't pay attention. And you know what? She was right some of the time. I wasn't paying attention. Hallelujah. So anyway, but we want to see, it says where our speech should always be with grace. There's always should be some grace in our speech. It said seasoned with salt, you know. In other words, you know what salt does? It brings flavor to something. You know, it's got to have a flavor, not a bad flavor. Ought to be some good flavor to it. Hallelujah. He said that you may know how you ought to answer each one. See, if you do that, so how you ought to answer everybody? Well, we want to answer, you know, we don't want to answer a correction to somebody. Sometimes people have to be corrected, but we don't want to give it to them to discourage them. We want to encourage them. We don't want to tell them, well, you know, you ain't got no hope. You've messed up and you're done. You're finished. You're down the tubes. No, we always bring people, you know, to grace and turning to God. Hallelujah. If they've messed up, and praise God, I don't know about you, I've surely had to rely on grace many times. And, so have you. So thank God for His wonderful grace and wonderful mercy. And so our speech is always to have grace in it, not discouragement. So making sure with yourself, you know, even thinking thoughts about yourself, get your thoughts under control. You may get around. Don't let yourself ponder on things. There's things that your mind wants to wander over to. There's things going on and happening. There's things that on, and they're not good. You know, even for yourself, whether or not, you know, your jobs and having the money that you need to do what you need to do. But your faith will be maintained by staying on the Word. And I just encourage you just not to get discouraged. Now, there's a definition here that I had gotten years ago in a dictionary concerning the word courage. And I wrote that one down in this definition. I gave you a simple definition of one. This just adds a little bit more, but it's the same things. And I just want to read that to you. It says here, that courage is the strength to venture. We said that was in the other one. To persevere and withstand danger, fear, or difficulty. It is a stubborn persistence and unwillingness to be defeated. It's firm determination. And so we need to understand this. If God wants us to have courage, and this is what courage is. And I want to talk about, I want to say some things to you as we go into this, because it's very important that you need to understand this. It's because many people, they have courage and they're, you know, talking about being strong when there ain't much of anything going on. But you need to understand this. Many times at the time that we need to have courage is when around us there's things that want to bring fear on us. See, isn't it fear's not there? You know, we need to understand this. To have courage doesn't mean that you never have fear try to come on you. See, some people think, well, there's something wrong with me. I wanted to be afraid. There's nothing wrong with. This is one of the things with courage. See, the outer man, you know, your eyes are seeing things around you, and your outer man, it's like, oh, and you know, you see the things around you, and what happens? What you see going on around you wants to come over and get on you, you know? It wants to become your truth. That's what it does. Well, and this is one thing is why you get the Word of God in you, because the Word of God has the ability to get you into the area of courage. And you will have courage and strength to stand against whatever that fear or difficulty is or whatever that danger. It'll give you a stubborn persistence to just keep walking in the Word and keep following it. And that is in the Word of God. Well, it's God's ability. God's Word is anointed, the Bible says. It's anointed. So in other words, it has God's ability. The anointing is God's ability that works in your behalf. So the Word inside of you gives you the ability to do the Word of God when what you see with your eyes, with what you feel with your going on around you and your emotions and your touch, taste, and smell, whatever all that is going on out there that seems to want to bring discouragement to you, we need to understand that the Word of God will help you and sustain you and give you the strength to have courage. That's where it comes from. It doesn't come. You know, courage is not because there's something, you know, things are easy to do. Many times, you know, people walked and they were courageous, but it was in really serious problems, and it wasn't because they were special. It's they had a different view than what they saw going on around them. And so I want to encourage you in that. Now, the word of discouragement is this. Discouragement is to be deprived of courage or confidence. We're going to talk about, because talking about courage, we're talking about confidence. You know, people lose their confidence. You hear, we'll be talking about that. But it also is to be persuaded to refrain from something. In other words, sometimes people may persuade you, but sometimes circumstances and things going around all of us. I've seen people who were walking in the Word. And they were following what God wanted. Oh, man, they were doing so well. And then circumstances came along, and they turned around and started moving away. Those circumstances moved them away from following the Word. And so what happened? See, they refrained from something. They were persuaded to refrain from something because of what they saw. It also means to be prevented from doing something because someone disapproves. Oh, today we have so many weak-willed people out there, folks. And you know about it. You're around them. So many weak-willed people. Man, I'll tell you, people can't even go to work regularly. You know, we had that trouble. And now, you know, some of them out here, people do want to work, but there's some people, they like this thing being off, you know. They like sitting there getting some money from the government and not having to do anything. You know, they like that thing's down there. You know, it doesn't take much to prevent them doing something. But we need to understand sometimes there's people there and we need to be very careful. That's why, you know, with Paul's writing to Timothy and his speaking about in the latter times, he talked about ministers, and he said that the people in the church would draw teachers to themselves, you know, and in other words, are following after their own lust. In other words, they would turn around, and this is what happens. Many people out here today, they let other people persuade them to move away, to follow their desires. You know, we're not trying to be unpopular, but, you know, to follow the truth, you're going to seem weird. You know, there's people that really want to go to church bad, and, you know, I really feel, I do too, I want to get back to church. But there's people out here, they can't understand why some people would want to get together to church. Why? You know, they want to go out there and meet and sit in cars away from each other, but still, they want to get there. Now, but see, people can't understand it. They think that they're strange. Well, see, I'll tell you this. I know this. The people that are doing that, there's many of them, leaders, who are telling they shouldn't be doing that, but on the other hand, call themselves Christians. Well, they're Christians by word, but no, they're following whatever, you know, whatever goes on in the natural. That's what they're going to follow. And they can't understand. They can't understand that people ain't afraid of getting sick. You know, boy, that there throws them off. Somebody ain't afraid of this thing? Oh, my God. They're working hard trying to keep people afraid. They're working at it really strong and hard. So, hallelujah. So, discouragement. So we want, just, you know, going over that definition there can really give us some good ideas concerning so far what we've gone over in the scriptures. What I want to do is talk to you, and we're going to look over this is familiar scripture, just not new something. I didn't read you any new scriptures today you guys never heard of. That's for sure. I mean, you guys have heard these things plenty of times. You've heard them loads of times. But anyhow, we're going to look at scriptures here today, ones that you've heard before. But I'm going to do a little add-on here to something, because we all know from in Joshua, the first chapter, where God told Joshua to be courageous, be strong, and be courageous. But I want to show you something, because God speaking to Joshua there is not the first time that Joshua was talked to about this. And so we're going to go over here and look at this. I want you to back up in the last chapter, verse 31 of Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy, the 31, this is the end of Deuteronomy. The book of Deuteronomy was really Israel had come up to the land, and they were at the land to go into it. They had finally arrived after 40 years of wandering around out there till that one generation died off because of all their unbelief. And they come, this next generation is up there to come into the land. And I want you to see something, because we're going to have what Moses has said to Joshua. He spoke to Joshua. So, and I want to understand this is what Moses said. And I want to just say to you, this is why Moses, we're going to find Moses said these things, because we overlook at the things as well. You know, why didn't God tell Joshua this? But this is God speaking through Moses. And understand why. Remember the children of Israel when they first came in and went out to Mount Sinai and God showed up? And they said, no, we don't want to hear God talking. No, it scares us too much. God, you talk to Moses and then he'll come and talk to us and we'll do what he says. And they agreed on that. So you know what God did from then on? If they wanted to hear from God, they had to hear through it from Moses. Moses is the one who told them. And so here, this is not, Moses is still alive. Moses is about to leave. And Joshua is going to take over as leader. And so God, really, we could say God is speaking to Joshua here in front of all the people about what God's called him to do. We need to understand we have God speaks to Joshua in the first chapter of Joshua, but we need to understand the public has already heard by Moses what God said. And when God reiterated over in the first chapter of Joshua, he spoke specifically, personally to Joshua about it, because Joshua had to lead the people. And so God confirmed in him some things Moses said. And I'm not going to read you all that Moses said, but in Deuteronomy, the 31st chapter, I'm going to read to you things that Moses told Joshua. And he's speaking to him by the Spirit of God. He knows what's going on. He knows he's leaving. He's not going to be with them anymore. He knows he's not going into the land. Joshua's going to lead them into the land. And so in Deuteronomy 31 verse 7 says this, then Moses called Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, he said, be strong and of good courage, for you must go with this people to the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall cause them to inherit the land. Now, it seemed like, oh man, that's a lot on me. I'm the guy that's going to cause them to inherit the land. You're the guy that's going in. He told them to be strong and courageous. So here he's told already in front of all Israel, you be strong and you be courageous. Well, it's just like with Moses. Had to be strong and courageous because the people weren't always strong and courageous. Yet, if you back up a verse, you'll find that God spoke to the children of Israel, to all of them, to be strong and courageous. He wanted them all to do it. Now, but here he's speaking specifically to Joshua, and we use Joshua is really is a pattern here for this. But God spoke to him specifically in that. And then we go in chapter 31 in Deuteronomy down to verse 23. And here's Joshua, this is Moses speaking to him again, says in verse 23, then he inaugurated, now that word inaugurate, the King James Version says charge, which is a good word, or commanded. In other words, we have inauguration of our president, he's inaugurated to stand in an office. So in other words, what he's doing is being set apart in that office. So now what we're having here is God, in front of all the people, is setting Joshua apart to his position that he's going to be taking over Moses' spot. He's set in that position. Now he says to him, now you think this is God's, for God, this is the first words that Moses, by the anointing of God, says to him. This is his office. His office is to be strong and of good courage. And I want to tell you, you know, you have an office. You have whatever you're standing in with God. You were born into this kingdom, and you, God has anointed you. And you know, I want to say this, because you know, we talk about what our anointings are in this, but I want to tell you, we're anointed to be, number one, I believe, to be strong and of good courage. If we're not, I don't care what he's called us to and what anointing he puts on us. If we are not strong and have good courage, or we're courageous, we're going to have a problem. We're not going to fulfill God's plan. So in number one, we can say this about God's anointing. For God's anointing to lead, you know, whether in a home, whether, you know, a father leading his family, God's anointed that man. He's supposed to be strong and courageous in his family. Just the same way is the wife over with the children. She's supposed to be strong and courageous. Wives aren't, you know, wives and husbands, they're not supposed to be, they're supposed to be leading their families, not turning around and doing everything the kids want and everything. They need to lead them. They need to God. They need to be strong and courageous. And the reason they do is because we have so many weakling kids today. Kids are growing up weaklings. They can't stand through anything, can't do nothing. They're just whiners and complainers all the time. And you know, in my household, when I grew up, you know, you're a whiner and complainer. You were ducking a lot. They were trying to whack you on the head. And so, you know, it's going to be whiners and complainers. Why? Because our parents were strong and they were courageous. And they were teaching us to be strong and courageous. They taught us not to be whiners. They taught us to take our place and do what we were supposed to do. Thank God they were good parents. And they had my parents, if I go back, they went through the Depression, hugely difficult times. My mother lost half her family, brothers and sisters, and her father during the Spanish flu thing. You know, when there are people, she saw all that death go on. She saw seven siblings die, and her father died during that time period. She went through those things. Then turn around, then had the Depression turn around and came. She lived through that, and they were in an area, and they were just as poor. She had her mother. There were seven other kids. And her mother, she didn't have them men take care of things. Boy, in those days, that was hard. She lived through those things. She knew what difficult was. And she was my mom was a hard worker, and she would do whatever she had to do to supply whatever need had to be done, and whatever. She was like that. And they put that into us. They wouldn't let us be whiners. I have nothing to complain. I had so much better life than my parents had. My life was so much more easy. My dad and them, the things that they went through in life, what he did from the time that he was 9 years old, and the work that he had to do and things and stuff of the farms and working in the mines and stuff and things and all those things as a child, all the hard labor that they did. And you know, my dad just told us about that during the Depression days, that he would out, he worked on building roads, and he said they would come out and dump these big rocks on the road, and he had a 20-pound sledgehammer, and he swung that from sun up till sun down for 50 cents a day, he said, to break rocks on the road. And he said you'd break them down to about a 1-inch size rock, and he said you stood there all day, and the trucks would come out and dump those rocks, and you'd stand there and beat them down and beat them down and beat them till you broke them all up. And he said you just kept doing that all day, swinging that hammer. Well, I never worked that hard for that long, like that, just continuous. And he did it day after day after day. And so they knew what it is to go through some hard things. And you know what? We need to be people who of courage and people of strength. And so these things that we're reading here that are spoken, that Moses spoke to Joshua, said he inaugurated him what? He said to Joshua, the son of Nun, and he said, be strong and good courage, for you shall bring the children of Israel into the land which I swore to them, and I will be with you. He said, look, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to tell you, sometimes it may not seem like God's with you at all, but you need to get settled up. The Lord told us that he'd be with us. He'd never leave us nor forsake us. Is that the truth or what? See, we need to understand he's with us. It doesn't matter if you feel like he's with you. You know, I've heard people say, right, I don't feel like God's with me. God never asked you to discuss whether you, what you felt about whether he was with you. You think the Holy Spirit, he moves out every once in a while, or he just goes, takes a walk and leaves you by yourself. You know, some people must think that way, but we don't. We know better than that. He's with you all the time. You're the temple of the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God lives in you. He lives in you. You're his house. You're his home where he lives and he abides. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Don't matter how you feel today. Doesn't matter what's going on. God's in you. Hallelujah. So I read these scriptures. They do excite me. I don't know about you, but I'm excited reading these scriptures. Hallelujah. Well, in reading those, then we go over to Joshua, the first chapter. Now we go out of Deuteronomy and go over. Now we see here Moses is gone now. And you know who God now is talking to? God's talking to Joshua. So we have now the things that Moses said, God's going to say to him, and we hear that God here elaborates a little bit more to him. But God's going to tell him, and this is why we need to pick this up. If we're going to be courageous, if we're going to have confidence toward God, we're going to have to follow the pattern. This pattern that is given here by God to Joshua is not for the Old Testament and for them, because the principles fall in the New Testament too. The Word of God changes not. The things that you needed to be do to be strong, you need the same thing. You need trust in God, and that changes not. So you don't trust God any more than you trust His Word. And so many people say they're trusting the Lord, and you ask them what the Bible says about their situation, and they don't even know. Well, I'll tell you, hallelujah, we can know. Find the Word of God. Take it, say it. Get it in you. Get it in your mouth, in your heart, in your mouth. Begin to speak what the Word of God says. Hallelujah. You'll find yourself being encouraged and strengthened. Glory to God. Then that's what you want. Well, in Joshua, the first chapter, I'm going to start it. I'm not going to go back and read all of it. In the beginning, I'm going to start the sixth verse so we can talk about the things that God wants to bring out here. You can read the other verses. They'd be good for you to read too. But in Joshua, the first chapter, and we go to verse 6. And let's look here in verse 6. It says here, excuse me, let's start at verse 5. It says, now man shall be, that no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Now, he's not talking from a little, nobody can walk up in front of him or something, but no man can stand before you. In other words, God's anointed him, and nobody else is going to have an anointing like he's got. In other words, his anointing on him, no man's going to be able to take this spot. Because why? This spot's given by God. You know, the spot God gave you's been given by God. Now, other people might be anointed with similar anointings and things and stuff like that. But you know what? We consider ourselves just so replaceable, but you know, God don't want to replace. God wants us to walk in the anointing that we have. He said, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. What encouraging words. Just like I was with Moses, I'll be with you. Hallelujah. Well, just like God was with Peter, James, John, and Paul, he's going to be with you in the same way. Hallelujah. See, he gave you the Holy Ghost. God moved into us. Hallelujah. He's with us all the time. He says, and he goes on to say, I will not leave you nor forsake you. Well, we even have that the New Testament says that he's not going to leave us nor forsake us. Hallelujah. So you don't have to worry about being left or forsaken. So in other words, he's going to be with him, whatever he needs. You know, I want to read to you in Hebrews. I'm going to read to you from Hebrews, the 13th chapter and verse 5, because I want to read you something about God never leaving nor forsaken. Look at it in the context it's written in. This will be helpful for you today. Through the scriptures, the context that he'd never leave you nor forsake you was under a different times period, events or things that were happening at that time. And God was showing them or spoke to them he'd never leave them or forsake them was based on the fact of whatever the events were at the time, he would take care of the people during that. I want you to see this in Hebrews makes this statement in Hebrews 13:5. This was written by the Apostle Paul. I believe surely that he did write the book of Hebrews. Some believe other, but we can all believe what we want. I just believe this is true. In verse 5, he says this, let your conduct be without covetousness. Covetousness is the love of stuff. The Bible tells us New Testament that covetousness is idolatry. So what he says, don't let your conduct be without that. Don't have covetousness. You need things. But that doesn't mean, you know, you should go without, because we want to look at this scripture. He said, but don't have covetousness. Don't get over in the wanting everything your beady little eyes look at. But don't be covetousness. Don't, you know, always having stuff and wanting other people's stuff. And, you know, somebody has something. I got to get it like theirs. And all this stuff going on. You might find something sometimes somebody has and you think, boy, yeah, that would be a good thing for me to have. That would be helpful. But, you know, it's getting over as people today trying to compete with each other. And, you know, they used to have a saying when I was, you know, young. It was called keeping up with the Joneses. And in other words, people were always trying to have what your neighbor, if a neighbor got something, you had to get it too. And you did those things and we don't want to get in there. But listen to what he says. You're supposed to be content with such things as you have. And number one, are you content? See, I see, you know, there's one thing about your faith operating to get something that you want other than what you have. If you can't be content with what you got, there's a good chance you may not get the other thing you want. And so many times people aren't content. They want other things because they're not content. And so when they're believing God for things, it's not out of faith. It's out of the frustration. They want things and they want things. He said, be content with what you have. Because listen what he went on to say. Now here's what he's talking about. For he himself has said, who's he himself? This is God himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now I want you to know in the context he's talking about. Here he's talking about, you know, people say this, you know, well, once saved, always saved. He's not talking about once saved, always saved. He's talking about you as a Christian, you, in other words, you needing stuff. There's things that you want or need. You know, be content where you're at. Don't be covetous. Because he said, look, I'm not going to leave you nor forsake you. I'm going to take care of you. My word's telling you that, you know, I'll bless you and help you. I'll take care of you. See, right now in this thing, you know, we're seeing it. Some people, you know, they've seen their jobs come to an end and everything's, and people are worried whether their jobs will ever start up again. They're wondering if they're ever going to go back to a job or anything. This is what God is saying to the believer. You know, don't get yourself over here and worry about it. Your conduct. Don't get over into covetousness and things. Don't worry about all this stuff. You know, get over here about stuff. He said, I ain't going to leave you. I'll never leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. He ain't leaving. God's saying to you today, I'm not going nowhere. Man might go somewhere. Things might happen. Seem like things, jobs take off, this stuff, you know, things seem like things left. God said, I ain't leaving you or forsaking you. You will not be forsaken. He will supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He will do that for you. And that's what he's saying here in this. That's the context of what that's written. Now, there's sometimes in its context when he said that because other events were going on and he was telling the people, look, I'm with you. Don't worry about this situation. I'm with you. Here he's talking about, this is about stuff. This is about covetousness. This is about things, having things. You don't need to get covetous. God's with you. You can easily get stuff, so you don't have to covet things. You don't have to worry about what you had disappearing. You know, some people say, oh my God, will I ever have a job? I'll always have a job. We're going to have jobs, okay? We're going to work. We're going to labor with our hands. Hallelujah. So we have to give. Glory to God. So God's going to find something for you. God's going to bless you. So we want to keep up along in this thing, in this side. Don't let what you see going on begins the things that gets into your mouth. You start thinking about them. Get those things out of your mouth. Get into the Word of God like we're doing right here. And get yourself built up. See, I'm saying words to encourage you. Hallelujah. God's with you. Don't worry about this. Now, when he told Joshua over here, when he said, I will not leave you or forsake you, in other words, what he anointed him to do, in other words, his ministry to take these people into the land, he's saying to them there, now look, I'm taking you into this, you're going to take these people in this land, guys going to have to divide this land up for these folks. Well, you know what these folks were like. They were a lot of trouble. But anyhow, God said, look, I've anointed you to do this and I ain't going to leave you. You go over there, I'm going to always be with you, Joshua. My anointing is going to be on you. You're going to be all right. You be strong and courageous. Hallelujah. Don't go by what you feel, Joshua. I'm always with you. Hallelujah. So, see, in that context, so therefore, we can look at this today. What God's called you to as a believer, God's not going to leave you. His anointing is on your life. You've been born of God. The Spirit of God is in you. He's not going to leave you. He's going to take care of you to fulfill. You might have dreams, and you might sit looking and think like the things that are going on today is the things I've dreamed that God has called me to. Will I ever fulfill them? Hallelujah. He's never going to leave you nor forsake you. And then he goes to verse 6. Now understand, we have it marked in chapters and verses, but this is the same subject. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. Because I ain't leaving you nor forsaking you. So you be strong and of good courage that you may observe to do. Now that's what he says. Do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you to do. To not turn from it to the right hand or to the left. That you may prosper wherever you go. Now, people here use this, and they use this for physical prosperity. You could, but that's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about prospering and what God told him to do of taking this land, of driving these enemies out. They got to drive these guys out. He has to divide the land up to the people. In other words, to do this job, that giving, you're going to prosper in doing it. You'll prosper, well, just like today. See, I gotta believe God wants to prosper us financially, but that's not what these scriptures here are generally taught. It's not generally talking about you're going to prosper wherever you go. You're going to have a lot of money wherever you go. It's not what it's saying. He's talking here about prospering, but he said this. To be able to complete this, you're going to have to follow the law or the word of God that God gave through Moses. So that was what we have as the old covenant. We have a new covenant. So we'd say it in our time. He said we need to deserve due according to all of what the new covenant was given to us. Hallelujah. Through Jesus Christ. He says, and so we need to be over here. We need to observe to do what the Word of God says. Observe to do all of what the Word says. Well, you got to know what it says to do what it says. So he told them there, they need to observe to do that. Now, if we jump on to verse 8, verse 8 says this. Listen to what he says. Now, he's going to tell them. He told them to be strong and courageous. Well, does this just mean be a tough guy? That's what you just be a tough guy. No, he's talking about he has to fulfill this thing. It's not about being a tough guy. He has to be able to yield the anointing of God. The anointing is what destroys the yoke. The anointing is what gives the ability to carry out the plan of God. It isn't me being a tough guy. See, it's a lot of people think, well, you know, he's strong, courageous. Yeah, he's a tough guy. No, it's the anointing of God, yielding to the anointing. And he's telling him how to do it. You got to do what the Word says. You got to do what all of what the Word says. He didn't say, well, you know, do a little bit of the Word. You know, follow this over here. You know, follow that over there. Do a little bit of this and a little bit of that if you want to, and it'll work out. No, he says to do it all. Then he says, verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. In other words, we're talking about what you say. Don't let the Word of God depart from your mouth. In other words, you're talking other stuff. Don't let departures, the Word departs from what you say, what you're talking. You talk in line with the Word. You speak in line. See, we were over there. We live under the days of grace and the Word of God, the grace of God given us. The Word of God is called the Word of Grace. We speak that. In other words, you don't let that depart from your mouth. You don't let the Word of Grace depart from your mouth. He goes on to say, but you shall meditate in it day and night. Why? That you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. See, why do you do it? You meditate on it. You don't let it depart from your mouth. You get in, meditate. In other words, make that your thinking. Let that be your meditation of what the Word says. It's today, like I started off in the beginning, there's so much going on around us. There's so much turmoil among people. There's so many people acting so ungodly and doing stuff. We have those things, but we can't let that be on our mouth. Even though that exists, and it's true, and the Bible says so, we can't let that dominate and rule us. What we want to be ruled by is the Word. So we got to meditate on the Word day and night. Keep our meditations. You know, you can see things going on. Sometimes we may have to discuss certain things, events that happen that aren't good. But don't let them be your meditation. Let the Word of God be in your meditation. And he said day and night. In other words, you become a person. You're not a Sunday Christian. See, we have so many people, Sunday Christians, you know, on Sunday they go to church and then they have a certain ways they act and live and then they go home and it's another way. Now, I know none of us ever did anything like that, you know, we always act holy in the church, so we act real holy all week. Every one of us has had to repent at times, we didn't. But what we do is we want to grow and develop and we want to walk right because all of us have missed it. You know, we got saved, all of us, because we surely did miss the glory of God and we needed to be born again. But now that we're born again, we've missed it. Every one of us that has used 1 John 1:9 numbers of times. And so it's not unknown to us, but it's keeping the Word of God, keeping the Word of God before us. And the purpose of this is so we can do what the Word says. Is the doer of the Word is what's blessed. One of the great problems is not people. So many people think because they know the Bible. No, it's doing the Bible is what will work well for you. That's what makes you. He said then, for then you will make your way prosperous and then you'll have good success. So I remember when I first started off and hearing people teaching on some of these, I've heard people say this and say, you know, well, how God prospered Joshua. He said he'd prosper him if he stayed in the Word. Well, he didn't say that. He didn't say that at all. God didn't say he would prosper him. He said Joshua would prosper himself if he got the word in him. And he did what the word said, and he would prosper. Well, he'd prosper. Why? Well, this must give him courage and must make him strong, or it wouldn't work. God wanted him to be strong, first of all, on the list. The first thing he talked about is being strong and courageous. That's what he wanted him to be. Be strong and of good courage, and do not be dismayed. In verse 9, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. He said, I've commanded you. Say, you're going to be prosperous and have good success? Well, you will have prosperous and you'll have good success if you meditate in the Word day and night. You get the Word in you. You do what the Word says. Do all what it says to do. Whatever you know to do in the Word, do it. You know, all of us don't know everything. Ain't nobody knows everything to do in the Word. We're learning all the time. Sometimes it just shocks me how much I don't know. I get a revelation from God and I think, my words, I hardly knew anything. And so we need to understand that. But what we do know, we need to walk in. And if you walk in what you know, you'll be blessed. God will bless you. God honors you walking in what you know. We can't know things and then not walk in them. He wants to. Why? Because then you make your way prosperous, then you will have good success. Hallelujah. You will. You'll do that. So think about that. God has provided you a way that you can make your way prosperous. In other words, in hearing his other words that he's telling them to do is going into that land, he's going to do good at the job God's going to give him to do. If he follows this, he's telling him, well, it's the same way. If you want to be strong and courageous, follow this principles here, and you'll be blessed. You'll be blessed in it. Understand, look what God said to him in verse 9. I'll read it again. It says, have I not commanded you? He said, look, I'm commanding you this. I'm commanding you to be strong and of good courage. He didn't say, hey, you know what, if you can, the best you can, try to be strong and courageous. Joshua didn't say, well, I'm trying to. No, he commanded him. How could God command him to be strong and courageous if God had not given him the ability to be so? That'd be dishonest. God tells you today, and he's telling you to be strong and courageous. Because the word will perform in you just as what is performed in Joshua. He couldn't tell him to do that. Command him to do something, he's not giving him the ability. And here he tells him, here's how you get the ability to do this. You don't let the word go out of your mouth. You keep the word in your mouth. You talk the word, you meditate on the word, and you do the word. That's what you do. Hallelujah. Now I know you've heard this taught already. You've heard these things many times. But we need to go back over them again. There's one thing is wise because, you know, when times are real good and we hear these things, it's easy to, you know, oh yeah, this is really good. This is what it says. But under difficult times, like with myself, I find that sometimes, hey, you know, I'm not sticking as close to this as I need to. I need to keep myself, my joy going and not become discouraged. I need to stay encouraged. So I'm speaking to you here in these things. I'm not telling you these things that you may be doing in them and you may be rejoicing in the Lord. Praise God if you are. Hallelujah. But this is just to encourage you to keep over in this area. Keep yourself, or don't get discouraged about what's going on. Hallelujah. Just do whatever is at your hand to do. God says best is the labor of your hand. You know, so put your hand to labor to do something. It doesn't matter if there's a paycheck involved in it. Some people may not be getting a paycheck right now, but there's one thing of it is, you know, don't sit around and do nothing. Do things. Get up. Get to work. God blesses the labor of hands. You know, sitting around, you know, we don't want to become couch potatoes and sitting around and not doing anything. We need to keep ourselves active and doing things. You know, sometimes, you know, as I know, you know, with Wanda, she was going around and like going through her stuff and things, and she said, I'm getting rid of some things and her things and stuff, just keeping herself active, doing stuff that hasn't been done for a while, going through things and doing it. Well, you know, in the same way, this time of the year and this stuff with the lawn mowing and outside work and stuff I was doing and those things. Keep myself active, you know, getting out here, just going for walks, going out here, good, I can go for walks and meditate, keep myself exercised some, need to do that, but doing things. You know, that's part of God, don't mind you do that. You know, it's like with me, lots of times when I get out and walk and things, or I go run and do anything like that, I really get thinking clear when I get out there doing that. I get away from other stuff. Hallelujah. I get meditating on things of God. You might want to just go ahead and try that out. But we need to get the word in us. Don't be afraid. Don't worry. Don't have any anxieties about anything. So if you get the word in you, in your heart, and all, you know, really, and all doubt and unbelief out of your heart, which what you will do. You get the word in, that's what's going to leave. And you're going to be filled with courage. You're going to have courage. It's going to strengthen you and build you up and encourage you. You know, encouraging words in a tough time. Somebody speak it. And especially, you know, sometimes people say words of encouragement, but they really don't believe it themselves. But if one does believe in himself, and this is really an important part. And we want to, you know, talk about this, encourage, saying the right things and doing them. You know, one thing is I just want to say to you is words of encouragement that, you know, were given. When God, this is from David in 1 Chronicles 22. Go over there. In David's instructions to his son Solomon. Because, see, David was getting the end. Solomon is going to, he had ordained Solomon as being the king, and David's dying. And he's going to be leaving, just like Moses. Somebody else is taking over. Solomon's taking over. And in 1 Chronicles, in chapter 22, starting verse 12, it says, this is God, this is speaking, he's speaking through David, but I believe it's God. He said, God speaking to through him. He says in verse 12, only may the Lord give you wisdom and understanding and give you charge concerning Israel that you may keep the law of the Lord your God. You see, it's important. He says, we've got to keep the law. You've got to keep this thing. In other words, the word of God. The law to them was the word of God they have. We have the word of grace. Glory to God. The New Testament. Then he said, why? If you do that, if you keep the law, then he said this. So it's the same thing dealing with Moses and Joshua, and the same thing with God speaking to Joshua. He said, then you will prosper. If you take care to fulfill the statutes and judgments with which the Lord charged Moses concerning Israel. See, if you do that, he said, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be dismayed. See, again, and that's spoken as a command. Be strong and courageous. See, you're not going to fulfill the word of God if you're not. People are not. You got to be, you know, now's the time when we're dealing with things where, you know, there's discouragement. You know, a lot of people discouraged and worrying and everything else. They're afraid. We need to, the people aren't strong and they aren't courageous. People are weak and discouraged. But we need as the church, we need to be strong and courageous. Get over doing the word. Why? You'll prosper. Hallelujah. If you really believe you're going to prosper in what you're doing, if you believe God's going to bless you in what you're doing, you'd be strong and courageous just to go out here and do it. See, you got to get the word in you to believe what the word says and to believe it more than what you see around you and the things that are happening around you and going on. And this is not just for this time. This is for the whole time out the rest of the walk. It's always been this way. This is God's word that changes not, no matter how the difficulties. You know, you're going to see, before you leave this earth, you're going to see other great difficulties that are going to go on in this earth. So we can't live as Christians, crawl under a rock somewhere and, oh Lord, come and get us out of here. Oh my God. No, I tell you, we're still going to have to rejoice and sing some songs. Hallelujah. We're going to have to keep ourselves over, stay ourselves encouraged, and you will if you stay into the Word of God. Hallelujah. Now, God's going to give him wisdom is number one. God will give him wisdom if he gets in the Word. If you get the Word in you, you'll get wisdom. So God will give Solomon wisdom. So praise God. So our strength will be in whatever we are listening to and doing. See, if I'm listening to the word and I'm getting the word in me and I'm doing what the word says, that's what's going to dominate and rule. And that's what is determining my strength, how strong that I am. Let me read to you Hezekiah. You know, King Hezekiah, Israel was under siege by the Assyrian Empire. The Assyrian Empire ruled for about 300 years. And the Assyrian Empire had come down and destroyed the 10 tribes of Israel, which was called Israel, and that was called the Northern Kingdom. Just turned around and hauled them off into captivity and dispersed them all through the empire. And they came, the same empire came down against Jerusalem to take it. Came down to Judah. It's going to overtake Judah. And they come down knocking on the door. But Hezekiah followed God and walked with God. Hezekiah looked to God. And Hezekiah knew that naturally speaking, he can't stand against this empire army that's coming down. Because this is not made up of one nation. This is numbers of nations that have been taken over by Assyria and put together. Huge armies coming down. Vicious armies. they're outside the gate. They're out there holding siege and making fun of the Jews that are living inside Jerusalem and threatening them and things. But listen what God says in 2 Chronicles 32. 2 Chronicles 32. This is what King Hezekiah says to his people. Remember over there where it says he'll speak with grace? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sing. Listen when he gets up and says to the people. Listen to what he said. Verse 7. Here's what the king, oh my words. You want kings like this? Hallelujah. He stands up. Listen what he says. Top of the list. Be strong and courageous. Hallelujah. Do not be afraid or dismayed before the king of Assyria, nor before all the multitude that is with him, for there are more with us than with them. Now, I want you to understand this. He can't be talking natural, because understand, when you talk about number-wise, there was a huge amount more naturally with the armies of Assyria than were with Judah in Jerusalem. So he's not talking about natural. But see, he said there's more with us. Why? Now here's what he says. And you need to get a hold of this. If this man under the old covenant could see in this manner, surely we could over here. We can understand why he says be strong and courageous, because it's what he believed. See, what you're believing does is going to make you strong and courageous, or it's going to make you weak and discouraged. Now listen what he says. With him is an arm of flesh. In other words, it's only men out there. He only has men. He's only got men. He's got an army of men. Now that army of men out there, they had all kinds of stuff, from equipment to horses, and they had their chariots. They had their armor and all their stuff. They had their stuff to scale walls and stuff, and to knock walls down and things. They had all that kind of stuff as an army. But listen what he says. He said, that's only the arm of flesh. But with us is the Lord our God. Hallelujah. Well, what did the Lord our God say? I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Hallelujah. So we can say, the Lord is with us. Glory to God. The Lord is with us today. Today, the Lord is with us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And tomorrow is, when this epidemic passes by, it still ain't going to change. He's going to be with us. We don't need him for just now. Hallelujah. This is always, glory to God, changing not. Hey, but with us is the Lord our God. What? To watch and just to see, sometimes he helps you, sometimes he don't, sometimes he answers our prayers. He said to help us and to fight our battles. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God's going to get in the middle of the battle. Glory to God. And the people, what? Were strengthened by the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. Listen, what? The word strengthened them. If you want to be strong, you can be made strong and courageous through words. The word of God, speaking the word to one another, saying it about the word, doing those things. You can be strengthened and encouraged. Hallelujah. So you can be strong and courageous. It says there, it tells us what? The people were strengthened by the words. Hallelujah. Praise God. As I had said before in teaching, people were criticizing our president the other week here, about two or three weeks ago, were saying that he was given too much hope. Oh, these crazy knuckleheads. And I'm going to tell you, they're terrible. The poor people, they're so dumb. They think we're going to become victorious by talking discouragement, by talking pandemic all the time, by, oh man, it's going to come through a second time. This one ain't bad enough, it's going to do it again. They ain't even got over this one. They don't know if another one's coming or not. But I'll tell you, they're preaching another one, but hallelujah, that ain't the one we're going to preach. Glory to God. Now I want to tell you how this God went to work for them. Hallelujah. I believe it's the same God will do miracles today. Listen what it says in, I want to go over to 2 Kings, the 19th chapter. 2 Kings, the 19th chapter has about this incident in it of King Hezekiah, and about this too, and Chronicles and Kings both have it in it. But I want you to show something. That big army was out there. Well, one of the guys who worked for the king of Assyria, he sent him over to come out and really do some tormenting. Tell Israel they needed to give up because, they had no way going to be able to stand this against the Assyrian emperor because he's destroyed all the other nations. Any nation that's come before him, he's destroyed it. And he was right. He actually had done that. Every nation they went up against, they defeated. And he said, you know, he went to nations that were stronger and bigger than Israel. He defeated them. But here he comes down to Israel, and he just says, he's out there saying he's going to do the same thing. But there's a king inside here in Judah, and he believes God's with him, and he believes the army of God that's with him is bigger than his army that's outside the gate. So this guy's standing out there saying all this stuff and tormenting him. And Isaiah the prophet had come to him and said to him and told this to Hezekiah. Came and told him, don't worry. He said, the king of Assyria will never enter the city. He's not coming in. You see, the king went and told the people good words, and God said, I'm going to back up the words. He said, why? He's talking the right words. God's with us. Now, so the Assyrian army's outside, and they think they're big, bad dudes. See, this Syrian emperor, he's a big dude, man. This guy, he controls an empire that at that time is the largest empire in the world. But let's listen what happened to him. 2 Kings 19. Listen to this in verse 35. It's verse 35. And it came to pass on a certain night that the angel of the Lord went out. Now let me tell you this. The angel. It didn't say the angels of the Lord. One angel. God sent one angel out. One angel. And killed in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when the people arose early in the morning, there were the corpses all dead. Can you imagine? No battle. You get up in the morning and 185,000 of your men are dead. Can you imagine? I can't imagine 185,000 dead people just laying out there, you know. All these guys in their tents, all these military, and they're all out there. 185,000 of them are dead. One angel. One angel. He had this huge army, all these men, and one angel did that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You think God can look after us? One angel did it. You find this out if you go read about this whole story, about everything that went on. This emperor turned around, and because of this great defeat, and he's doing 185, he took his army and he headed back to Assyria, back up to Nineveh, and he headed up there. And when he got back, wasn't bad enough, he lost his army. He got back there, a couple of his sons got together and killed him. So, you know, this bad boy with all the bad words. But you know what? Hezekiah didn't go out there. Hezekiah didn't go out and deal with that emperor. He trusted God. And God helped him deal with them. Sometimes we see in the Bible where God sent Israel's armies out against them and gave them a victory. In this circumstance, God had another plan. But there's one thing about this plan that gave God the victory. We need victory in these day and times in the church that we can see specifically it's God working and not men. So I encourage you. This is why we want to get strong and courageous. We want to get over and get ourselves built up where we'll trust God, where we don't go out and do things our way. What if Hezekiah would have heard and said, well, you know, let's take the armies out and go after these guys because we can lick them. No, they waited to hear from God what God wanted to do, and God took care of it for him. God will show us what to do. I think there's things God wants to take care of us this day and time. We won't lift a finger to do it. He'll take care of it and do it for us if we will turn around and listen to him. Now, I'm going to stop there in our teaching, and we're going to go on this about courage. There's more things because there's scriptures I want to go through and read to you. We're going to go over the really good scriptures that deal with references in the New Testament and other areas, even the Old Testament, that deal with being courage and strong and confidence. And you read these scriptures, they will help you and build you. It's the Word of God's going to build you up. And you get these words on your lips. You begin to talk these things. Hallelujah. And you won't be discouraged, but you will have courage. And God's called you to be courageous. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Just like the things I'm preaching to you today, I'll guarantee you, you're listening to these things, they're just building strength inside of you. They bring hope. It's the grace of God working inside of you, building you up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Putting a smile on your face again. Glory to God. God's on your side. He's working. He ain't leaving nor forsaking you. Glory to God. Whatever it is He's called you to do, whatever that might be, He'll make you a success at it. Whatever you need in life, the things that you need physically to take care of in life. He'll supply all your need. Whatever it is, He's not going to leave you or forsake you. Whatever it is, natural or Lord, the supernatural, God is looking to take care of us. Let's close in prayer. Father, I just want to thank You. How wonderful it is, Lord God, the God of encouragement. That's what You are, encouraging us, building us up. I thank You, Lord God, for taking these words today, Lord God, speaking them to us, Lord God, to build us up and strengthen us. Lord God, putting hope inside of us, Lord God, making us strong in this day and in this time. Lord God, putting a song in our hearts. Hallelujah. Lord God, we have victory on every side. Lord God, as the Church of Jesus Christ, we're coming out big on the other side of this thing. Not smaller, but bigger. Hallelujah. Father, I thank You for the divide, Lord God, between religious and truth. Hallelujah. I thank You, Lord God, the truth in church. Lord God, the ones that stand in faith of Jesus Christ as King of Kings and Lord as Lord and the only way of salvation. Lord God, I thank these people are going to rise up in this day and this hour full of strength and power in the name of Jesus, carrying out the glory of God in the face of the earth. Lord God, to these people out here in this perilous time we live. Lord God, that are out here walking, Lord God, in earth in this evil. But Lord God, we're going to preach the gospel to them. We're going to take the good news to them. And Lord God, I thank You for the ones that are going to leave that camp. Hallelujah. Of the ones that don't walk in love. The ones that are, whatever they're doing, Lord God, of evil, they're going to come over and walk in the kingdom of God. And we thank You for it, Father, for all that You're going to accomplish and do in us and through us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.